Thank you. Thank you very much to everybody. My special thanks to Rainaldo Graziani and Lorenzo Maria Pacini. I'm sorry for my bad pronunciation, my poor pronunciation, because I don't like English. Now I'm reading my speech. I'm sorry. Multipolarity as an imperial and mitogonic necessity. Multipolarity is a new vital world trend in geopolitical and international relations, and is a new cooperative and participatory mentality as its deepest reason for being in a necessity that is much logical as mitogonic, which pertains to the very structure of reality, as well as to the structure of the imperial dimension of power. By mitogonic, a term I invented a few years ago when my book Mitogonia was published, I mean the dynamic and performative essence of myth, that is its vital and timeless irradiation. The term derives from the mingling of the word myth with that which indicates combat, struggle, challenge in old Greek language, ago, agoge. Ago also means to celebrate, to party, to drive, to excite, to lift. If myth does not do this, it's only a study of myth and ethno-historical attempt and effort, not mitogonic from gignomai, as descended from past, only from past, only from blood, but as a profound capacity to act, to effect. Now, a movement rising from within, from the abyss, like Professor Dugin always us. Until a few years ago, talking about empires, evoke distant boyhood studies, the memory of the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and at most a few vestiges of ancient Rome. Nothing could be older, outdated and almost ridiculous. Today, faced with the need to realistically accept an increasingly complex, heterogeneous, multilayered, and contradictory social existential situation between forward-looking technological futuristic trusts and an ever more widespread desire for a more organic and even more archaic and natural life, a new nostalgic love for the small homeland emerges in unison with the recognition of the need for an imperial dimension as the only cultural form capable of managing such complexity and governing it in a harmonious and balanced manner. Multipolarity thus appears to us today as the timeless, intrinsic essence of every imperial reality, both as an internal, federal, self-governing projection and as an authoritative external projection. Almost every true empire is federal internally and multiform also in its capacity for external projection. Italian feudalism was, from the Emperor Constantine onwards and for 15 centuries, the greatest and most vital expression of cultural and social biodiversity, superior to the same internal and relational differentiation proper to the Roman Empire. Maritime republics, free cities, imperial communes, signorie, the millenary Republic of Venice, the leopard spot domination of the Catholic Church, private latifundia, small peasant estates, city commons, woods, pasture of common use, demonstrate a vital differentiation that radiates both horizontally and vertically, also in a social sense and perspective. Professional guilds, confraternities, associations, city militias, religious convents, differentiated and multiform magistrates. Here, the natural ancient multipolarity is a set of relational social bodies that expresses a profound balance between order and chaos, between differentiation and hierarchy, between community and heroic and authoritative direction. Today, therefore, we are called upon to think of multipolarity in all its possible perspective and especially in its mental position of centrality that radiates in multiple forms as from within a Platonic solid. It's not coincidence that the complex Platonic forms designed by Leonardo from Luca Pacioli were, in the best of Italian Neoplatonic humanism, true talismans and emblems of wisdom revealing the dynamics and charisma of nature, shapes that not only synthesize the element of nature, but also represent a vision tending forward the sphere and at the same time holding together more than only one geometric form. Even when they are formed by repeating only triangles or pentagons, as in the dodecahedron and icosahedron, their position is articulated as in a spiraling dance or in a sequence reminiscent of DNA. Multipolarity establish and represent the most natural and normal condition for ensuing true progress as the irradiation development of all the capacity of community as a territory or a set of communities and territories. Multipolarity as a relation dimension mutually in place, a central mental position and thought, mediation between future and past, height and low, unified verticalization and participatory sharing. The wisdom of Greek myth reminds us of a timeless character of multipolarity. Ancient Greece, like the long epoch of Western Christendom, later interrupted by an industrial revolution imposed ideologically and managed elitistically, experienced a living non-ideological multipolarity that was spiritual and geo-anthropological before being political and form. A relational multipolarity that also performed both vertically and horizontally. The vertical axis was visualized in the solstitial journey of Apollo from Delphi to the land of Upper Boreans and of Zeus from Olympus to the red Ethiopia of Mit, without forgetting the sacred streams of the cosmos defined by the east of Colchis, the lands of Ishaitian and Persian, and the west of the Epi Island of Circe, Calypso, Thule, the Phoenicians, the Phaeacians, and Atlantis. Horizontally, this archetypal and profound spiritual multipolarity was realized in a series of living polarities founding the Greek self-consciousness itself, the Game of Olympia, the rite of Eleusis and Samothrace, the Greek sanctuaries, first and foremost that of Delphi. The Greeks existed as a confederation of people, as a koine, in Greek old language, koine, community, universal community, only around these multiple polarities. The Greeks were never an empire before Constantinople, but thanks to their multipolarity, they defeated two empires that were not so multipolar like Greeks. First the Trojans and then the Persian. Also incorrect is the cliché that sees the ancient Greeks as racist, who considered all other non-Greek population as barbarians and inferior people. Even before Alexander the Great was absorbed the universal idea of empire from the Persians for the first time, ancient Greeks had always had admiration for non-Greek peoples, such as the Nordic Hyperboreans, the Scythian peoples, and glorious Egypt. The historian Herodotus devoted ample space in his writing to the Scythian peoples, who occupied the Greek Sarmatian plain stretching from Black Sea to the Caspian Sea, and were distinguished by their skill in working with gold and other metals, and well as their great warriors' abilities. Lucian from Samosata, old Greek writer, dedicates one of his books to the Scythian sage Anacharsis, called Anacharsis, considered by many to be one of the seven sages of archaic Greece, and the historic Athens itself, Aristotle and Aristophanes, remind us entrusted his defense to Scythian archers. Herodotus again expresses his great admiration for Egypt, seen as a land of wisdom, of glorious and great antiquity, in comparison to which the Greeks seems like mere children. The Greek gods themselves, in the myth, when the immense monster and giant Typhon, son of Gaia, defeats the Zeus and conquers Olympus, they all flee to Egypt, transforming themselves into animals. The 50 Danaites come from Egypt and Cadmus from Phoenicia, the one who teaches the alphabet to the Greeks. The neoclassical vision of ancient Greece is an ideological, erroneous, and falsifying vision. Archaic Greece was a shamanic and multipolar Greece, both internally and in external relations. A Greece that did not live enclosed in its Aegean or confined to southern Italy, but mingled with Scythian peoples in the Black Sea, with Egyptian in the Nile Delta in a port of Canopus, with Hittite peoples in Asia Minor, with Thracian people along the Danube, and with Celts in the west. Homer tells us of the Macedonians as allies of the Trojan Empire, along with the Ethiopians and the Persians of Sasa. In fact, Allio is the greatest testimony to what an Eurasian empire is, a complete empire, both land and sea, and one that helps peoples in unity along both axes, north, south, and east-west, directly controlling only a small region, as it based its power on the stability of confederal and federal alliances that even reached the Asian Amazon. The Spartans maintained friendly relations for centuries with the Persian Empire, with which they shared a similar titanic and solar cult, such as horse sacrifice. It's not coincidence that Sparta did not follow Alexander the Great against Persia, and the Persian gold was the only one to enter Laconia. And it's not coincidence that Elinosparta stopped in Egypt and Phoenicia and Cyprus before reaching Troy, on the outward journey with Paris and on the return journey with Menelaus. Greek myth, the spiritual, sacred, and timeless heart all of Hellas, teaches and reminds us of this multi-millennial fact, how Hellas was multipolar and Eurasia was a living, normal reality. Even Greek hero is a traveler and explorer and is called upon to undertake great feats that are as much in the fair north of the Hyperboreans, Perseus and Heracles, according to Apollodorus' account, and they are in the east of Asia, Jason in his quest for the Golden Fleece, Heracles in the Amazon and the Garden of Hesperides, Bellerophon in Asia Minor against Chimera, Dionysus in his triumphal journey to India via the Caucasus, as recorded in his poem None of Panopoli, all the Greek and Egyptian writer. Without the Asian plains and Arctic snow, the Greek heroes would not have become Greek heroes. Artemis and Apollo are Asian divinities, worshipped by the Chitians and the people of Asia Minor. And only after the Trojan War is their cult spread more widely in Hellas, especially in Sparta. Iphigenia becomes priests of Artemis in Tyride, in Crimea. And Medea, sister of Zeus and daughter of the sun, is a wise and holy woman from Cappadocia. The geography of the myth turns out to be extremely concrete and precise. Tanai, Thermodon, Borysthenes, and the Amazon River correspond to Don, Dnieper, and Volga. Even Achilles is not buried in Greece, but in the Black Sea, on an island of snakes. A multipolarity is also enriched by social aspect in recalling the marriage between Theseus and Hippolyta, the queen of Amazon, and the greater freedom enjoyed by Spartan women, a heritage that is certainly Asiatic Oriental, as the theme of Woman of the Isle of Lemnos confirms. The human being is multipolar, heart and mind, soul, body, spirit, praxis and thought, memory and vision. Thank you very much.